Good morning. I always smile when a baby cries during baptism because it reminds me of a tradition in the Eastern Church. It didn't make it over into the Western Church, but in the Eastern Church, baptism is recognized as kind of a life-changing thing where you're taking on these vows for your child and your children, and you as a Christian may be asked to do some things that are uncomfortable and that are challenging. And so there's a tradition in the Eastern Church that if the baby is not already crying after baptism, somebody pinches the baby so that the baby will cry. I'm not kidding. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels that Jesus asks a ton of questions? Have you ever noticed that? Someone has kept track, of course. There are 307 questions that Jesus asked. There are great questions like, what are you looking for? No, really, what are you looking for? Or, do you love me? No, do you really love me? Astonishingly, Jesus is asked questions and answers very few of the questions. The story from John 5 is on my top 10 list in the Gospels, and Jesus asked a great question. We will circle back to the story in John 5, I promise, so hold on. The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you all. So we're at the tail end of a sermon series in Lent that's based somewhat loosely on a challenging book by Cynthia Molobita called Resisting Structural Evil. We've called the worship series Blind Spot, and we picked that title not just because it's catchy and looks good on a banner out on Guadalupe, but because blind spot names the place that we often find ourselves. When it comes to seeing the world around us, how things are, we have huge blind spots. We've talked about all the things that cloud our vision of God or that get in the way of what we really need to do. Not just lack of time and energy, but the way injustice is hidden, that it's hard to untangle, that it's often so entrenched we just can't even see it. We've talked about the way that we see the obstacles in our path so clearly, how large they loom, but we lose sight of all the good that lies just beyond. Somebody shared a Zen koan with me after the early service. The obstacles are not in your path. The obstacles are your path. Think about that. We've talked about how love for neighbor must include our other than human neighbors, and especially everyone's next door neighbor, the planet Earth. We've reminded ourselves that we are not morally powerless. That God's love, God's Spirit breathes in and through us, is always with us, giving us courage and creativity as individuals and as communities. And we've said our mantra that the systems and structures of evil that we reject, we said it just this morning in the baptismal vows, right? They were constructed by human beings, which means that they can be changed by human beings, by ordinary people like you and me, even by teenagers. Yeah. Linda and I caught a couple of films at the South by Southwest Film Festival this week. We didn't get into the film that we thought we wanted to see, but we ended up seeing this really great film called Las Sandinistas. And it's a remarkable portrait of the women who fought in Nicaragua's Sandinista Revolution and who continue to struggle for justice today. What were you doing when you were 18 or 20 years old? Can you think back to that? I mean, I was in college messing around with stuff. These women were undoing one of the most brutal dictatorships in the Western Hemisphere, the Somoza regime. One of the Sandinistas was asked early on, how is this revolution going to accomplish anything? It's so small. It's just a bunch of women, teenagers. She smiled at the interviewer and she said, "You've clearly never been in bed with a mosquito." Back in the 90s, there was a study that was all the rage in the Methodist Church. Maybe you took it. It was called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And one lesson from that study has really stayed with me, and it goes like this. You don't need to sit around and wonder, what does God want me to do? God is at work in the world. God's Spirit is out there at work in the world, and all you need to do is find where that work is going on and join in. One of the most encouraging parts of Cynthia's work is when she says that we don't have to reinvent the wheel when it comes to our work on injustice. We don't have to look at all of these huge problems and think, well, how am I going to make any impact on it? We can join in because the work is already going on and so much of it just flies under the radar. 10 years ago, Paul Hawken wrote a book called Blessed Unrest. Blessed Unrest. So in the 90s, he's an environmental professor, and in the 90s he'd been giving talks about the environment, and a strange thing happened. At the end of almost every talk, people would walk up to him and they would give him stuff. They would give him articles to read. They would give him stuff that they had written, books, and they would give proposals, and they would give websites, and they would give their business cards for their nonprofits. Well, over the years, the stack of all this stuff in his house numbered into thousands of things. So he was curious. He wondered how many people out there are doing all this work. So he began to count. Initially, he found 30,000 groups around the world that were at work somewhere on environmental issues. 30,000 groups. I know if you're surprised by that, if you're like, well, that's because we don't hear about it. When he added in social justice groups, the number grew to 100,000. He kept probing. He discovered that he just hit the tip of the iceberg. There were more like 1 million, maybe even 2 million organizations that were working on things like ecological sustainability and indigenous peoples movements and social justice. So it's not a typical movement with leaders and with a hierarchy and a flowchart and all of that. It's an emergent movement. It's a global humanitarian movement, and it's kind of moving from the bottom up, and it's pretty disconnected. The beautiful and heroic students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School are the latest and greatest members of that global humanitarian movement. Amen? So Hawken is well aware that in spite of all this work that's going on in these millions of movements, the planet is still in crisis. But he says that doesn't seem to hold people back, because wherever he looked, there were movements that were growing and there were new things that were popping up. And he said it was almost organic in nature. What he discovered was the largest and probably the most overlooked social movement in history. Hawken's research is also, for me, as a theist, I don't think Hawken is a theist, but it's empirical evidence to me that God's Spirit of renewal is working overtime in the world, right? And it's just popping up everywhere. I mean, who knew? Who knew that the real movers and shakers are not the 1% and the billionaires who get all of the attention, but a patchwork group of activists, millions of them, scattered across the globe, caring for each other, caring for the earth, caring for those on the margins. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that following Jesus and taking small steps had led me to the detention center in Hutto, not as a detainee, so let's not get confused, okay? Although some of you probably wouldn't be surprised. I went as a visitor to visit Laura Monterosa, a young woman, a refugee from El Salvador, a woman who genuinely didn't belong in a detention center in that setting. Grassroots leadership here in Austin has been leading the support for Laura, and they've been campaigning to get her released into a better facility. And many people have rallied in front of the detention center, and they've made phone calls and sent petitions, and I think 44 people in Congress have been working on this. Well, I have good news. I found out on Friday through some emails that Laura was released from the detention center last Friday evening. This seems like a small thing, right? And it is in a way, because there's a lot more people in detention. But in these times, it's like the green shoots on the trees. It's a forerunner. I hope and pray it's a forerunner that change is on the way. Okay, and now, as I promised, back to our story from John's Gospel, but with a little twist. Now, in Austin, there is a pool called, in English, Barton Springs, because it is fed by a natural spring. And by the pool lay a tall, lanky preacher man. When Jesus saw him lying there, he asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" "What do you mean, be made well?" he asked, for he too was a man of many questions. "Do you want to be made whole?" Jesus asked. "Do you want your congregation, your community to be whole? Do you want this planet to be whole?" And he said, "Yes. Yes, I do. I've heard that if I go in the spring, I will be healed of all my ills, but when I try to get up and go in the spring, other things get in the way." And Jesus said, "Forget about the spring. Stand up, pick up your beach towel, and walk with me." In this story, in John's Gospel, the details, the angels are in the details, okay? They're important. Notice Jesus doesn't help the man get into the water, right? He comes to him while he is on his mat, and he offers him words of life, the words that he needs to hear to live, to be made whole. "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." Notice too that the man doesn't leave his mat there. He takes it with him. That mat, that situation, those circumstances, those obstacles, those things that get in the way, those things that hold us down, that hold us back, all of those things are real for him, right? And they're real for you and for me. But now he holds them. They no longer hold him. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want your family, this congregation, this community, this country, this world, to be made whole? Do you? God is at work, my friends. And what you and I need to be made whole, to create whole communities, to fight for truth, justice, and the Jesus way, it's already going on. It's already happening out there and in here. And the divine invitation to join up, it's already on your heart. You already know what it is. Do you want to be made whole? Then stand up, take up your mat, and walk. Amen.